The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Yeah, don't it sound so epic? Horns are screaming, I ain't the one you wanna mess with. Use a joke, I ain't the one you wanna jest with. The battle's coming, you only got a few seconds to run.
Hello, Bengals fans. I am Matt Minnick, and this is Chalk Talk, a post-draft edition of Chalk Talk, and not only post-draft, but, you know, giving a little bit of time to dig into the film, and, you know, get down and dirty and figure out what's going on with all these picks the Bengals made. And speaking of film, brought in another film junkie and really USA Today's go-to person in terms of the draft. She writes for USA Today, for Draft Wire, for NFL Wire. It is Laurie Fitzpatrick. Laurie, how are you doing today?
pretty good. I'm doing fantastic now that I'm here. Honestly, I'm glad to be talking football. It's been a couple days since I've been on a podcast, so I'm excited. Dove into the Bengals a little bit. You guys did pretty well, so I'm excited to kind of go over it a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So, we'll start off first. I know you cover the Jags, and we'll talk about some of the Clemson film you've been watching in a little bit here. But big news. looks like Tim Tebow's back. What do you think of this move? Obviously, he's a little bit up there in age, but you know, obviously was a good athlete. Knows what Urban wants to do. Is this going to be a thing, or is he just going to be there?
No, I mean, we're really not sure. But this actually came out a couple months ago that he went to the practice facility and, you know, a couple of people saw him there and they thought that maybe he would be a coach. So it was actually pretty shocking when it first came out like a month ago that they may actually sign him. And it was like the whole world heard about it, but they were just like, nah. And now that it actually came out today that they're signing them for 1 year, everyone is just freaking out. And if you look at the depth chart for the Jaguars, they don't have like a single receiving tight end that they can rely on. And you know, you think about how like the way that Tim Tebow played with like so much heart and as a ball carrier, just as long as Trevor can kind of get it to him, like on the run, I feel like he may have some yak in him, you know. I think it's going to be pretty exciting. I just hope he's not terrible for his sake.
I mean, yeah. He seems like he'd be a good kind of off the ball type of guy too, which is going to be a good fit with Urban. And I mean, I don't know. I mean, he's a divisive person to some people, but I mean, when he had those, that year with the Broncos, like those NFL films highlights of him, like just like driving him down the field. And then he's on the sideline and he's just having a blast. He's like singing Christian rock songs to himself. And like, I don't like just like the energy of that guy. That's a good energy to have around, you know?
Yeah, definitely a good locker room guy. And when you have two rookies that are like the staple of your offense, it's kind of good you're going to have some veterans there, but it's also good to have like somebody with a big heart, you know, just like the way just the way that he plays is just like, you know, it's like addicting. Well, like when you want to watch, when you watch him play, it's just like you want to play harder too. So,
yeah,
I absolutely. Mean, hopefully he brings that.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely what we saw in those Broncos teams. Like he took them, like they did pretty well with him. You know, obviously the, you know, the arm limitations are a real thing, but like he had some success there in the short term anyway. And yeah, I think a lot of that is just like he was a good leader.
And like how you know how much he was trying to be converted. Urban Meyer was trying to convert him to a tight end. Like afterwards, and he said, like, it came out like a couple months ago that him and Urban talked after he graduated and was talking to him and asked him, like, hey, should I convert to a tight end? And Urban was like, you know, if you feel it in your heart that that's what you're going to excel at, then do it. And he just wanted to be a quarterback so bad. So, I mean, it only took like 10 years later to maybe finally go into his natural position. So, if this is really where he excels, like, you know, better, then, hey, I'm all for it, to be honest. But I was a Tebow person back in the day. You know, I remember going to the Jets locker room and doing the Tebow in front of his locker and taking a picture. Yeah. Like, so, like, I was a Tebow, like, fan. And I'm not, like, super religious or anything, but he's just someone that like, really pumps me up. And I just love just his personality in general. So, I mean, it can't hurt, right? I mean, that's a question that I'm asking. Is it going to hurt Trevor, or would it like take away the spotlight from him, or is it going to put the spotlight on him more? I mean, I don't mind this other narrative on the Jaguars offense, because it seems like when they are expected to do well, they don't do so well. So, you know, if it's on somebody else, then maybe, you know, he'll do better. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. Like, it gives people something else to talk about. And yet, like, maybe if there are some struggles, it gives them something else to focus on with that. Because, you know, he can be a little bit divisive in that way. Never in a locker room, but he can be divisive amongst, you know, people that like talking about football. So, yeah, that'd be interesting. And, you know, I thought when he went to the Patriots, I was like, well, this is the perfect spot for him. Because nobody was ever going to say you should start over Tom Brady, you know, at least not at that point, you know, well, definitely not at this point either, but, you know, really that was the perfect situation because there were so many people that were in his corner that like he went somewhere else and it would just take one bad game and there'd be those people like, well, play Tebow. And I think you're not going to have that with, you shouldn't have that with Trevor because he's been so hyped out for 3 years, you know?
Well, I'm not going to see him as a quarterback at all.
Absolutely. Yeah. Definitely.
So it's just like if anything, maybe they'll call for, you know, the Florida boy. Well, he's not really from Florida, but Gardner Minshew, he seems so Florida though. So, but I guess at this point it's like, you know, is, is he going to, does he have hands still? And in baseball, did he lose his legs? Like, you know, the strength in your legs and the, like, the power that you had when you're kind of, like, pushing off of players. You know, if you don't do that in 10 years, do you still have it? You know, can you, are your hands as soft as they were? So, these are all questions. And then the last question is Gardner Minshew going to give up number 15? So. It's all crazy things, you know? It's been a crazy month, man.
You make a good point because Minshew is kind of the same thing where he's got that fan base that people are just going to love. People love the guy so much that you probably will hear whispers of, oh, put Minshew in. But I don't know. And I thought it was interesting, too. I live in Rhode Island, and I went to Patriots camp the year that Tebow was up here. And He was going to be the personal protector on the punt team. Like, that was one of the roles they were trying him out at. And so it'd be interesting to see, like, different ways they use him there, because obviously that sets up great opportunities for fakes.
That's true.
If he makes the team and they don't at some point run a play on the goal line with, you know, him as the Wildcat quarterback and run that pop pass, I'll be shocked.
Yeah, I mean, and I think, like, I haven't watched a lot of college football, like, as a fan. I'm totally all NFL. So I don't know, like much about like Urban Meyer back in the day, but he mentions now how like how crucial it's going to be to have like those trick plays or those big explosive plays that kind of come out of nowhere. So I would hope that they would put him, you know, right, like I guess the position that you said it's not, you know, is right in front of the punter. Like he's the one that makes this the call. Like he's the one that says hike. Yep. I actually did that. I did that position when I played football. I like called hike. Yeah. I was like, you know, it's not the center. It's it's the person like we're fine. Yeah. So yeah, I think that would be. I think that would be cool as hell if they, you know, did a direct snap to him and he just threw it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And then, yeah, and there's always that threat to run with that, too. So you get that dual threat guy there. So, yeah, it's, I mean, and one thing that one thing that I've realized, too, is that, like, when you run fakes, nobody ever covers that guy if the punter's going to throw it. Nobody ever covers the person protector. So, but anyway, we've gotten down the Tebow rabbit hole quite a bit here. But that's a good stuff. I'm really interested to see what happens because Did I like him too? Like I just like the personality. I love the energy. He's a guy you want around your football team. But so you know, you watched a lot of Clemson. Obviously, just like last year, we as Bengals fans all knew that it was going to be Joe Burrow for a long time, and spent a long time working on Burrow. Obviously, you know that it was going to be Trevor for quite a while, and have dug deep into Clemson film. Had to double back again when you pull off Travis Etienne. And now the Bengals actually went into that that route again in round two this year after having T last year. Went for Jackson Carmen. So what are your thoughts on Jackson Carmen and you know what the Bengals were getting out of him? Looks like he is going to be a guard at least for now. That's the way they're saying. I wasn't thrilled right away by the pick, but then hearing head coach Zach Taylor talk about him as a guard, I was like, okay, well now I get it. What are your thoughts on Jackson?
No, I think a guard is a good placement for him. I mean, only because you know he can work up to being a tackle. Because I don't know why in the NFL they switch linemen up. I actually hate that. But if they're going to do it, then might as well maybe put the wider guys at guard, so, you know, so they don't have to move much. And then when they get used to those rushers and the stunts and everything, then you can move to the, like, elite position of a tackle, you know, where he was most comfortable. But he's like a swing guy. He can do both. So, you know, 345, that's a big fella right there. And he's not like 6'7" or anything like that. You know, he's only 6'5", so he's wide. You know, he has a good center of gravity, which I think is perfect for the guard position, especially if you're kind of starting out. The only thing is sometimes I feel like he lets guys take him where they want to go, but that's what you do as a tackle sometimes, you know, like if the guys, you know, if the rusher is coming in hard, then, you know, okay, take him where he wants to go, you know, but that's a completely different type of play if you're a guard because you're not in the tackle position. So, you know, it would be interesting to see, you know, how he adjusts, but, you know, we saw him line up in both places. So, He has quick feet. He gets to the second level, a whole pull sometimes for in the run game. I think he's a really good pick, and I think he was mocked in the second round in a couple other like mock drafts that I saw. So I mean, I think you got a good place, like you got him at a good spot.
Yeah, he definitely looks like he's gonna bring a lot to the table in the run game. You know, he's a people mover, and like you said, he can kind of get out there. He can pull and Bengals. Love athletic linemen, or at least they did last year. We'll see what's happening with the new O-line coach, but that was definitely something that was a priority for them in the past. So we'll double back to the first round. Obviously, the big talk for the Bengals draft was Ja'Marr Chase. Before the pick was taken, a lot of people wanted Penei Sewell, wanted to take care of that lineman before – before round two, but the Bengals went with Chase. Burrow's the old guy, added some speed. What are your thoughts on Ja'Marr Chase and what he brings to the table in Cincinnati?
I love him. Honestly, as a receiver, I think he has the fundamentals to really take it to the next level. And he already knows his quarterback, which is like literally the best thing that you could have. Honestly, that's pretty exciting. I can't say the only reason why I was excited that the Jaguars got ETN was that he played with Trevor. I mean, he's okay. I don't want to go into ETN. This is about Ja'Marr Chase, but being comfortable with a young quarterback is key. So I think that in itself is awesome, but I think he's a real physical guy, you know, like for his size, he's explosive as heck. He has like a crazy huge broad jump. He's in the 95th percentile in broad, and he has over 40 inch vertical. So he's, you know, he's just a really athletic guy. And the number one thing that I like is he always tries to stack his defenders. So he's always going to try to get in front of, you know, the defender and make sure that he can kind of just slow his speed down and get right underneath of the ball. So that's something that I think, you know, Joe Burrow already knows that he can do. The only thing is, who else do you guys have in your wide receiver core?
We got Trevor's other go-to guy from college. They got T there, and then Tyler Boyd in the slot. So
okay,
Chase really brings that speed dimension that they were missing there. So
yeah, no, and honestly, he's a really physical receiver, and he's gonna get open. He's gonna get open like every time. So that separation is like the most important thing, and I think that's just like that was an awesome pick. For you guys, I knew that I wrote a draft profile on him and from the draft wire. And so I watched a lot of film. And even though he opted out, I just think he got some rest. I don't think it's anything that, you know, you need to be worried about.
Yeah. It's crazy to think you talk about what a good route runner is and how he's able to stack receivers. These are some pretty high level things. And he was a teenager the last time we saw him play. you know, so it's not just like he came into college and it was just like, well, he was faster than everybody, you know, like he was doing some really, really good, really high level things. And, now he's, you know, he's still young, you know, he's still really building his craft and developing things. He's already got the connection, with the quarterback, which a lot of receivers have a trouble in their first year, you know, so that's definitely a bonus that he should come in, you know, with an advantage in that area for sure.
And he was the number one wide receiver in going into 2019 too. You know, and he had no injuries. It's just like, he's the perfect like draft pick. Honestly, there's really no downside. You know, he's not like super tall or anything, but honestly, you don't need to be, just as long as your fundamentals are down. And he certainly has them, the low pads at the break and at the separation. He's physical. He stacks receivers. He has a bunch of different releases. You know, he does like bounce cuts. He's exciting. So, yeah.
Yeah. And you mentioned like the size and as physical as he plays. Like that's one thing, like when I'm watching film, like obviously a guy like that, like, I mean, we're paying more attention to Burrow at the time. But, you know, a guy like that, you hear about him. You know, other people talk about him before you're able to sit down and watch him on film. But like, I don't even look at like size and stuff. Like, all the measurables and tests and stuff. I'll kind of look at that stuff later. But I try and go in blind. And like, you watch him on film, not knowing anything, you're not gonna think that he's not a big receiver. He plays like a big receiver.
Yeah, no, he does. And
so.
Just one more thing, like, you know, like Tyler Lockett and some of these guys, they're, Aaron Fuller, they're only 5'11", you know, so those shorter guys now are, it really doesn't even matter. And he's taller than those guys. He's 6 foot. So just as long as he's not like 5'7", like some of those other guys, you know, like you said on film, like you kind of can't even tell. So.
Yeah, it's not like he's know, the guy that the Giants took in the first round. Right. Yeah. You know, oh, Tony, man. That's kind of a different deal. Like, you're looking at some different, you know, issues with that. So, and he doesn't, you know, he plays big. So that's the way I look at it. If you can't tell on film, it's probably not really a problem. You mentioned the draft profile. Another person you did a you know, major draft profile on that was a little deeper in the draft for the Bengals was Cameron Sample. You know, the Bengals major transition over the last couple of years defensively. Basically, Jesse Bates is left. Sam Hubbard, but when you look at the turnover there. A lot of change. Carl Lawson moving on to the Jets this year. Geno Atkins cut. What do you think Sample brings to the table in Cincinnati?
Speed and the double team, honestly. He's not from a big school. He's from Tulane. But, man, this guy, his motor is so high. And he slips through double teams. Like, I remember when I was watching him in the Senior Bowl, I think his teammate tried to do a stunt and like they tried to double team Sample and his teammate got through and he also got through the double team. So it was just like every single time I was looking at the line, I saw this guy making plays and I had to reach out to Twitter and say, hey, who is this guy? And people had to get back to me and say, oh, that's, you know, because I didn't recognize the helmet. Like, I didn't know who it was.
When did the green wave start wearing blue? Like, you know?
Yeah, it was like grayish blue. I was like, who is this guy?
I was like, did he transfer from North Carolina? And I didn't know it or something.
Yeah, no, he was great. I think he's someone where you can play, he can play the interior as well. He was taking snaps at the Senior Bowl against offensive guards, and he has better hands than any offensive lineman that he's going against. And as you know, offensive linemen, their main thing is their hand work, you know, how you're able to kind of stay in front of a guy. And if the defender has better hands than you, and he's bendable, and he has loose hips and that high motor, and he's just so active. I think that he's going to be a killer. He's going to be a silent killer, man. It's like, I think you guys got a really good one there. Like, he's so good. I loved him ever since I saw him at the Senior Bowl. I was like, who is this guy? And I watched out for him when he got drafted, so I was so excited that, you know, he went to Cincinnati.
Do you think that you know, do you think he belongs inside or outside? Do you think it's his versatility that kind of makes him special, or like, what do you think is the best usage for him?
Yeah, I think his versatility makes him special because he can kind of, I think he's better when he gets that acceleration going. So if he does like maybe stunts to like the inside or outside, it just, as long as he's able to get going, then he's going to be faster than any of the offensive linemen that he goes against. So I kind of like him kind of switching it up a little bit, maybe going on the outside a little bit more. You know, that like extended outside defensive end. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they'll line up a little bit farther back. But it's because they're really fast when they get going. And I think he's a guy that he doesn't need as much room to get going. But I think it would be good, and his speed will kind of, I think, be a little bit of a deception to the offensive line because you don't know where he is. And he's so slippery, he'll just jump right through, right through guys. And those active hands, like I said, it's...
Yeah, it's interesting. And they used him a lot of different ways in college, too. I mean, he was pretty much a stand-up end last year, but he was more of like a four-tech, like a four-eye the previous year. I found one clip of him where it was like a passing situation, and he was playing the zero. So they were getting a little creative with him in there, too. Wow. It kind of reminds me that, like, the Bengals do a lot of that stuff with Sam Hubbard. So, you know, that could be an interesting thing, like on third downs and stuff, to have him and Hubbard maybe playing the same side of the field, but you don't know who's the inside guy. You don't know who's the outside guy. Or, you know, I think both could, you know, I mean, you could, you know, put him at the zero and put Hubbard behind him like a linebacker. They've done that, some of that stuff in the past, too. And, you know, Lou Anarumo comes up with some pretty, pretty interesting stuff. You know, defensively for them. So, I think that moving piece like that, really, really exciting in today's NFL, where I think most of the better defenses are positionless.
Yeah, no, definitely. And he's just one of those guys that I think is going to be, dang, he got drafted in the, who is that? He got drafted in the fourth round. What? He plays like he should have got drafted in the second round. You know, and it may take him a little bit to kind of get used to it because, yeah, he didn't have that competition that he was going against, like the SEC. So I think there's going to be a little bit of adjustment, but he's athletic enough. He has quick feet. He has the acceleration. You know, he has that high motor to where it looks like when I watch him play, he wants to be better. So he's going to have a little bit of learning to do, but I think he's going to learn it quickly. In my opinion.
Yeah, and I mean, he definitely showed that at the Senior Bowl, and you see him against, you know, guys like Trey Smith from Tennessee and, you know, some of these other guys from some bigger schools, so.
Yeah.
And now, go ahead.
He had 11 and a half sacks, though, so, like, that's pretty good.
Yeah, definitely, so. And, you know, the Bengals are going to replace a late-round gem in Carl Lawson, so we'll see between, you know, him and Osai and Hubert, who they added later, definitely a lot of young talent in there. So it's gonna be fun to see what they do defensively next year. So my guest today, Laurie Fitzpatrick, great X's and O's breakdowns, draft coverage. Where can people follow you, find your work?
So on Twitter at Laurie Fitzpatrick, it's pretty much just my name. I'm on USA Today with. I was doing the draft wire. Now that the draft is over, I'm with NFL Wire or Touchdown Wire. I also have a YouTube channel and podcast called Ponytails Talking Pigskins. So come on over and, you know, listen to some female talk some football. So you can find me in those places. And definitely give me a follow on Twitter. So.
All right. Yeah, definitely worth some great X's and O's clips, even, you know, right in there on Twitter too. Some, you know, real quick digestible stuff on there. So definitely give her a follow, check her out, and you know, keep tuning back here. We'll have lots of Bengals news commentary all off season long as we get ready for year two of the Joe Burrow era and moving forward in Cincinnati. Houdet. Yeah, we coming for what's ours. You hear the crowd, we coming for what's ours.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.